Pleased to be joined by head coach Michael Duff. We'll start with Louis Reynolds from BBC Radio Leeds.
Thank you, Michael. Good to see you again. Can we start with your team news, please? Where are we at with bodies for Saturday's game?
A few bumps and bruises from the other night. Nigel Longwick will come back into the thinking. He's been training, so that's another one back in. Other than that, there's as you were really.
Just clarity on Herbie Kane's situation as well. What was the prognosis with Herbie?
Herbie's damaged his PCL. So pretty innocuous again. It was our first goal against Barnsley. He took a bit of a collision there. Lad ran into him. He obviously gets up, makes a pass to Lass. We go down the other end and score. He's played the rest of the game. Came in Sunday reporting it was a bit sore and he's damaged his PCL. So he's probably 8 weeks. Which probably, again, it's just another random one. Some lads run into him and he's managed to play the game, but it's obviously done some fairly significant damage. So, yeah, he'll be out for a while, Herbie.
It feels like we're having a similar conversation every other week, doesn't it? You almost becoming immune to these situations happening because you've missed quite a lot of key players this year, haven't you?
Yeah. We've had to come through quite a bit of adversity this year already.
Yeah.
So it's part of the job. You've got to be adaptable, you've got to be flexible, finding ways, whether that's formations, whether that's personnel, in-game, you're trying to work things out. So, yeah, that is the job. Everyone wants the best players available, and we've not had that all season. I said it last week. Raj told me that we picked the same team back-to-back once in, what we now, 40-odd games. I know 31 league games, but 40-odd games, including the Cups. So, and we had a long period where we went unbeaten, so you generally want to keep the same team if you can, but it is what it is. I've said it all the time. No, other people have had injuries. I'm not sure many have had as many as we have, but we just got to get on with it.
Do you feel in some ways you and your players deserve a bit more credit given where you are, given all that adversity you've faced?
I don't know whether we get credit or whether we get done. I know how we work. I know what we're doing is improving the players. It's tough. So, but I don't do it for gratification. You trust in the work that you do. You trust in what the players are trying to deliver. I think in the last couple of weeks we've fallen down on quality, which we've talked about quite a few times. But in terms of people in the right positions and running around and trying, that hasn't been in question. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll end up where we deserve to end up, and then people can make their judgments as far as we're concerned. So, no, I don't think we need to be clamouring for, or you need to say well done more, or we're not getting enough credit, or it's just get your head down and work. It's the way I've always worked.
And when you talk about that adversity to come through those two away games with 6 points, that must be great for confidence and morale around the place.
Yeah, again, coming through the first half at Barnsley where got into really good areas in terms of, and I don't mean supporters will see shots and crosses, I don't even mean that. I mean when you stop it and people are in really good pockets and we've just not found them. Yeah. But the reception at half-time, coming through that, coming back to win a game for the first time, getting the other side, the positive side of having 4,500 because they went home happy. The other night, it was a scrappy game. I thought, again, first half, we got into some good areas, but taking shots from the wrong decision-making, wrong shots and things. And then second half was a grind. It was a difficult pitch. I think we've defended 20 set plays into our box against a team that were much bigger than us. And it was a stop-start game. We thought it was stop-start game in the first half and the referee put 20 seconds on. And then when we're winning the game, he seems to find 9 minutes from somewhere. So, again, that's where we feel at the minute, a little bit hard done by. We know we can be better in certain aspects of the performance, but the run that we're on, clean sheet, away wins, you take the points where we're at the minute. Yes, we want to play brilliant, attacking, free-flowing football. That's what we tried to do. But just finding a way at the minute, that's, like I said, in everything that we do, that's what we're trying to do.
And with all those factors we've discussed and you've touched on there, look, I know it's all about winning, but does it make those victories any more sweeter?
No. I've been in football long enough. Wins are hard to come by.
Yeah.
So don't take them for granted when they're coming freely. But recognise you've got to tick a lot of boxes to win a game of football. Sometimes you need a little bit of luck as well, which we've had no luck. But don't rely on luck either. So it doesn't make it any sweeter. It's funny when you do win, you probably don't dwell on it that long. because you're moving on to the next one. When you get beat, you dwell on those. Yeah. That's the emotion of football. That's the horrible side to it. But no, the players are giving everything they can for the supporters. You know, we travel in really good numbers. The supporters at home, you know, they're big numbers, and the players are really appreciative of it. And like I said, we're fully aware of things that we need to improve on. We're not head in the sand. Everything was all right the other night because we won 1-0. There was loads of things we can improve on. It's just constantly trying to improve and survive at the same time.
Talk us through what you've made to Josh Caroma's impact the last couple of games.
Exactly what you want. I thought Josh came off it a little bit. We had conversations with him, what he needs to do. The most pleasing part of the goal the other day is there was some good build-up play, probably one of the few moments of quality in the game. But we've talked quite a lot about the Reading game, where I think I said we showed 11 or 12 clips on the Monday morning of balls getting flashed across the face of goal. So it was quite a lot of work on the opposite wide man's got to get into the box. And one thing, he can do it, Josh. Sometimes he gets a little bit lazy in his mind, not physically. And it's like, well, I'll just hang out wide. Well, the ball's on the other side, there's an opportunity to score a goal. It was a good move, it was a really good finish. Delighted with him. One thing he hasn't done, he's not sulked. He hasn't sulked. He's, you know, he's played left wing back. Then we sort of changed it to more of a 4-3-3. Now he's playing up top again. I think he's the top goal scorer. I really like working with him. He's a really nice kid. Wants to do well. You know, humble. Sometimes his body language betrays sort of that he doesn't care, and that that's anything but the truth. He's a good kid.
And when you have to have those conversations with Josh, he's saying he doesn't sulk there. Does it make your job in terms of managing the players a little bit easier when you've got a character like that?
It's up to them how they want to react. Sulking won't get them in the team. I know that. Listening, taking the information, just being honest with them.
Yeah.
You know, we say it quite often when you make a sub. We don't stand on the touchline and go, right, who's been our best player? And then, we'll take him off. You know, and it's not a me be them thing. They should be disappointed if they come off. But it's come off, and we'll have a chat about it. And then they might not agree with it, but we ask them that they respect it and they support their teammate and don't let their ego get in the way. And then it's up to them. The staff will work with them. So there'll be a reason why they're not on the team, or we think they need to improve in a certain area to get in the team or show a bit more consistency. And then if they want to sulk and down tools, that's up to them. It won't get them in the team. Or you can do what Josh does, go away. Sometimes you might have to wait for an opportunity to impact the game off the bench, which he did. Then he gets a start, yeah. And then he all of a sudden he's making the shirt his again. So that's the way football works.
Josh is one of your players who's out of contract in the summer. I just wondered if any conversations have been had with him or any of the players in similar situations about possible extensions.
That's obviously, I have conversations with certain people, but I don't get involved in contracts and things like that. That's not my remit. So, you know, Josh is a number of players, but we've got that much going on at the minute. You know, the focus needs to be on 3 points on Saturday, and those conversations are. Me and the player, we just work as coach, player, performances, and then agents, sporting directors, all those sorts of things. They're decisions that are taken. We're involved in parts of it, but as far as that goes, I don't know, to be honest.
On Saturday, and I know it's an unwanted stat, it's felt a while since a home goal here for your side. Have you changed anything in terms of preparation? And second to that, does it add any extra pressure on you and the players to go out and perform this weekend?
In terms of preparation, we haven't changed because we think the prep was good. Performances haven't been brilliant at home. It is an unwanted stat. You know, we know you're not stupid. You know you haven't scored this year. The changes have been in personnel. The changes have been in formation. So there have been changes. But in terms of the way we prepare, the way we set up, it can't have gone that wrong. We've just gone a long time without losing a game. And again, I don't think it was through a lack of preparation against Birmingham. I don't think it was through a lack of preparation against Reading, against Bolton. It was probably lacked some moments of quality at times, but that was not in terms of physically and tactically set up. I don't think it was that.
I guess Peterborough as well, needle between the fans as well. You got the better of them on the first day of the season. It would be great if you could get that win for the supporters.
Difficult game, difficult team, because they've got some really good players. They're really young. They've got a lot of pace in the team. They're obviously having a disappointing season. I don't think anyone saw them, but they had a lot of the team taken out in terms of the key players, and they're almost in a rebuild phase. Experienced manager, so we know they'll offer the threat. I was actually at the playoff game. What year was that?
Not last year, year before. 2023, was it?
No, Peterborough, Huddersfield. When was that at Old Trafford?
Oh, God.
2012.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I was at the game because I was mates with Joey Goodjohnson. Yeah, and I was mates with Grant McCann. So I couldn't lose. And it was in Manchester where I was living at the time. So, no, I was at that game. We want to give the supporters a performance. We, you know, the away supporters have been brilliant. They've gone home happy. We want to... And that's the thing. It's not been through lack of trying. And I think supporters have been disappointed with the home results in the last this calendar year,
yeah.
As have we. But I don't think it's been a case of it's been quality rather than effort. But we need to try and improve the quality and try and score a couple of goals.
I know you touched on it a bit there, but are you surprised with Peterborough's league position this season?
Yeah. But it goes to show when there's a lot of change at a football club, it's difficult. You look at... And it's not trying to absolve ourselves in any criticism. Luton got relegated last year. Look where they are. You know, Rotherham are having a difficult season. When they got relegated, look where they are. It happens when there's a lot of change at a football club. It sometimes takes a little bit more time. But they, you know, in terms of the manager, they've got an unbelievably experienced manager. You know, he knows his way around, and they've got some good players. But a big part of their team got taken away.
Yeah.
And they all went on to higher levels, so it shows that they were good players. So, you know, they're in that sort of rebuild phase now. They've got to try and survive this year, and then I'm sure they'll kick on because their recruitment's always been good. They've always developed young players. They've always sold them on. That's their model. So, but we're not too concerned about what their model is. We need to deliver a performance, score some goals, and win the game, hopefully.
And I guess what you've said there, if we circle back to where Huddersfield Town are at the moment and all the adversity you face, I won't use the word happy or delighted, but are you satisfied with where the team are at the moment in the league?
You always want more. I'll look at results that we've been really poor in. I'll look at results that we should have picked up more points. I'll look at results where we could have shown a little bit more quality.
Yeah.
But that is the job. You want to be demanding. Everyone wants to be top of the league. But I think we've come through quite a lot this year already. And it's like this. Football's never been a straight line. It's never going to go from A to B and everything's all rosy. You're going to have to come through tough periods. You're going to come through adversity. And we have come through a lot and we're still going through a lot. But at the end of the season, we'll decide where we finish. And if we're good enough, we are. If we're not, we won't.
Best luck for Saturday.
Thanks for your time.
Cheers, Louis.
We'll just come to Stephen Chicken from the Arterias next.
Hi, Michael. Good to see you. You sort of touched on it with Louis earlier, but you have had to, you know, dig in and get those results, but you've got the movement and the build-up is starting to get there. But what does it take to get the players to make those better decisions in the final third? Is that something you can influence too much, terribly much with coaching, or is it kind of on the players at that end of the pitch?
A bit of both. I think you can give them patterns. What you can't do is make a pass for them. Some of it's dealing with pressure, dealing with expectancy, decision making under pressure, which is what the best players are. You know, they make the best decisions under the most pressure. But we can give them options. You know, what my job isn't is just to shout at them and just shout, be better, show more quality, be better. It's easy to shout that. You've got to give them passes, give them crossing areas. And then it's up to people to, you know, like I said, we did quite a bit on the work, and so the Anthony Evans one is a perfect example. Work it into better areas. We didn't do that enough in the first half. I think we had 5 shots from the edge of the box when, you know, Lass is overlapping on one and TC's overlapping on another, and we can get behind teams. So it's showing them the opportunities where they can upgrade opportunities, but then the ball has to go in certain areas, that's on them. And then we need to make sure that people make the right runs, like Josh Caroma did for the goal. And it's just repetition, and then trusting in that's what we're doing, rather than just going off on your own sort of tangent, doing what you want to do when no one has a clue what you're doing. That's where relationships and that break down. So I think it's a joint thing, because it's too easy for me to just sit here and go, well, the quality's not good enough. Well, part of my job is to help that and help them, rather than just shouting at them and telling them how rubbish they are all the time. So I think there have been positive signs. We've changed the shape. We're changing the team constantly, so it's hard to get that fluidity. But we are trying.
You've had quite a positive record for sort of goals and assists from the bench this season, which I can assure you wasn't the case in previous seasons. You know, Anthony's got another assist. I think that's three from the bench in a row for him. Is it sometimes helpful if you're a player who's been watching the game for an hour or so and you're coming in not just fresh looks, but also you've been able to see those patterns maybe in a way you can't on the pitch and able to influence things?
It's something we do ask them. We don't want them just to sit there with sat in their snooze with their woolly hats on, just trying to stay warm. You are asking them to watch what's going on, particularly at half time. If we're seeing how the game's developing, a couple of the coaches will just keep your eye on where he stood and look at the runs he's making, or he needs to do that run. But I just said there to Louis, it's when you're on the bench and you get an opportunity to get on the pitch, you need to make an impact to try and get in the starting 11. Mm-hmm. So if they do sit there and they're just daydreaming, just wondering when they're going to get a shout, and all of a sudden they come alive, then that's going to affect them. So we do ask them. It's up to them how they do it. But we think we've had loads and loads of injuries, but the squad is... You look at the players that were bringing off the bench the other day, and I think we had 12 or 13 out unavailable, but it's still a decent team and still a decent bench as well. You know, Freddie Ladapo was in the Championship last year, Dion Charles scored 20-odd goals last year, Ante Evans was Team of the Year last year, Joe Hodge was playing in the Championship last year. So there is still some quality in the group. So we just want them... We work with them all together. It's never, say it before, it's never just the 11. It's all the patterns, they're all involved all the time, because they'll all be needed at some point, and this season has proved more so than ever that you're never dead in football. You know, it's you need to make sure... Josh Ruffle's a perfect example. You know, got in the team, got taken off at half-time for his first start, kept on working. We kept working with him. Came in on Tuesday night and I thought he was excellent, seamless, fit. All the things that you want from a group where they push each other constantly and they support each other.
That's all for me. Thank you.
Cheers, Steve.
We'll just come to Leon Lobshaw from the Yorkshire Post last.
Hiya, Michael. Hope you're well. I was just wondering, I mean, you'd be entitled to be pig sick with all this disruption you've had, and you've had a hell of a lot to contend with. In a way, has it brought the group sort of closer together? If there's one, not a positive from it, but that's one thing from it, that they've got a little bit tighter, and there's a bit of maybe it's created a bit of a siege mentality that you might not have had or something.
I don't know. It's definitely not a positive. I don't know. It does feel a little bit us against the world at the minute. And if that helps the players, it's, you know, they are a good group. Said it before, they're a good group and a nice group, and sometimes that's not always what you want, is a nice group. But the fact that I think the change in the mentality is that we've not been looking to find ways to lose, not that we were actively looking to do that. We've lost games on certain things. Northampton game aside, where we were terrible, there's no getting away with that. As a collective, everyone was rubbish. But there hasn't been that many of them. Like I said, it's been more been quality and things breaking down. We've played a couple of good teams as well, by the way, because Bolton and Birmingham aren't bad. I think sometimes forget that the opposition aren't allowed to turn up and be better than you sometimes. But has it brought them together? I don't know. They're fighting for each other. You've seen that in the last couple of performances where you start getting written off and they're rubbish, they're this, they're this, they're this. They've shown a reaction, they've shown that they care. So whether that's an adversity thing or what, I'm not sure. But again, all I can ask for is, everyone wants more, obviously, but is that running around, the sweat on the shirt, I've said it before, that's got to be a minimum. You're going to get bad performances. They're human beings, but they're trying. So they are a good group in terms of that. We haven't got anyone walking around talking in corridors trying to pollute the place because they're not in the team. Because if they are like that, I'd remove them. If the windows are closed, I'd just put them in the B team. Fortunately for Tongi, he hasn't had that because there isn't any.
He's spoken quite a lot when Hoggy was out the team. He was a great influence behind the scenes and, you know, showing his mettle as a person. Have you been seeing that from a few of the others who were sort of injured as well? They're still wanting to be part of it and cajoling people and encouraging them, because I mean it's the sort of thing that I know that you like seeing, and it's part of the whole group thing as well.
Different ways to lead. Say it all the time. You could be the best trainer every day in training, and not say a word. That's a good way of leading. You know, players pick up on that. You know, obviously you've got your old school warrior type, which is a Matty Pearson type, a Hoggy type. But there are other ways. It could be just encouraging one of your mates. That other people, you know, they've all got their own little groups, and it could be criticising one of your mates, going, or get in the gym. That's not the way we work. You need to be better. That needs to be better. We've had a couple of analysis sessions where the players have delivered to us. Takes them out of their comfort zone, and rather than just sitting there going, right, me pontificating in front of a screen, going, do this, do that, be there, be there. Sometimes it takes them out of the comfort zone. It gives them an understanding of what we're looking for. A better understanding of what their teammates are expecting from each other. It's hard to get them to talk sometimes, but they're all things that we're looking, because they've all got a role to play, whether they're in the team or not. So Reece Healy, Danny Ward have a role to play. They're part of the squad. You know, they're injured, but it doesn't mean just because you're not available, they're less important to us. We still care. Yeah. We talked about Reece with his, you know, the mental health side of it. Footballers want to play football. So it's our jobs to support them as well. So that's a different type of work. And you know, sometimes you give them little projects to do, little tasks of, you know, what's the centre forward doing? How do you think his game relates to yours? Little tasks just to keep them motivated and keep them active. But because ultimately, we'll all either get promoted or we'll all not.
Yeah.
So they're all here. They've all played a part. Everyone in the squad has had an opportunity. You know, I don't think there's one player in the squad that hasn't played any sort of minutes. So if we achieve something, they'll all be part of something. If they don't, it's a collective. As a collective, we want, we've got where we want it to get to. So, and it's making sure it's not just about the 11 on the pitch. I talk about egos all the time. It's not about, that's why when you make that sub, it's not about me and you, come off, we'll have a chat. And it's getting that one common goal, which is they know what the goal is. Everyone talks about it, but talks cheap. You know, we said it early in the season, right? Now's the time to stop talking, start putting into action, and just constantly striving for that one common goal.
I'm just going to ask you about one of the leaders you've got in Tom Lees. He's probably someone you've noted in his career from afar when you haven't been at Huddersfield. He's had a really strong, solid career, and you know, he's a quiet, thoughtful individual, does his job, and you know, you lean on him in times like this. You've obviously lost Mikel, and obviously Matty's out as well. He says about working with him. I mean, he sort of seems to be someone who'd be, you know, right up your street.
Different types of leaders, like I said. So Leesy, you watch him in training, the warm-ups, he does everything perfect. He's in the gym, never cuts corners. It's another way of leading. Sometimes he's easily criticised, Leesy, sometimes, because people see the things he can't do, but what they don't see is all the things he does do. So is it a coincidence that we can see three goals against Northampton because Leesy's not in the team? Not so sure. You know, he's been really good. Everyone knows he's quiet, unassuming, goes about his business. But you don't play, I don't know what, in terms of appearances, he's in the Championship, but I know it's 300, 400, 500. I might be even doing him a disservice at that many. So you don't play at the level that he's at, or the level that he's been, and the player and the level that he's at now, at the age that he's at now, without being a good pro. And sometimes I've actually had a conversation with a player today, and it's, why do you think Leesy and Hoggy are still playing the way now? Because of the way they train. Sometimes players want to just coast during the week and then all of a sudden be good at a weekend. It doesn't work like that. He leads by example. And by the way, if you're not doing it, he will tell you, which is what you want. But he'll do it the right way.
Yeah. I'm just going to ask you finally, obviously you touched on it earlier, your home form, you sort of had your winless streak, you've sort of sorted that out with the two wins. I suppose the next one is the home form again, and get that a little bit more on track. And I mean, I had a little look. You saw the first half, you know, maybe getting a few more goals in the first half to sort of, then you can sort of dictate the game a little bit and bring the opposition on, that sort of thing.
Yeah, we're fully aware of all those things. Again, dealing with it, dealing with pressure, dealing with expectancy, things that you have to do when you play for a big football club. When Huddersfield have been in the Championship in the last few years, it's been a completely different expectation. It's fight, survive, can you hang on, can you dig in? That won't work. People are turning up expecting us to win, and we haven't won enough games. There's no getting away from that. So there's no hiding from it. We need to be better at home. We need to win more games at home, and we need to score more goals at goal. Or normally, more score, more goals, you'll get more wins. So yeah, we are, but it's being aware of it without trying to make it a thing. Because again, a lot of it is in between the two ears. You know, they're not. You can't be a good player away from home and not a good player at home. It's a mentality. And it's dealing with different types of pressures and expectancy.
Yeah. Very best of luck as always, Michael. Thank you.
Cheers, Liam. Cheers, mate.
Thank you very much, everybody.